record for a round. Looks like Hodges may break that. He needs one more.
Oh, unbelievable. That was tremendous shooting.
He holds the record at 25, and now he gets 24 in this preliminary. That means that he will advance to the finals along with Terry Porter.
My grandpops, my uncles, they all taught me about the conscious athletes of that time. Jim Browns, Muhammad Ali's, Lou Alcindor's, Kurt Flood's, guys that I look to as far as being able to balance consciousness and balance their sport.
Craig Hodges, Long Shots, the book, The Triumphs and Struggles of an NBA Freedom Fighter. He's in our studio right now. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. He's Jaren Payton. It was that last rack, Craig. 19 in a row.
Oh,
and then you had the one that went in and out. I know you thought that one was going down. And then that last rack, you should have the record.
And it's amazing even to hear it and then to see it at times. That's probably – it's hard for me to listen to and hard for me to watch because in my mind, on that round, I hadn't planned on missing a shot. So – when I saw the 20th one go in and out, it kind of rattled me a little bit because at that point in time, I was literally shooting the ball in the gym by myself.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about this before where it wasn't about in a row. It was just every shot was perfect.
Exactly. And,
whap.
And just to be able to, and that's why I'm working with my students at Rich East, is the ability to make sure that every shot is individual and not to get caught up into how many I'm going to make in a row, but to get caught up into making this one and making this the most important shot that you have to shoot.
Like that, JP, and living in the moment, huh?
You got to live in the moment. And we were just talking about living in the moment, especially now. It was an interesting conversation before the mics came on, but nowadays, these youngsters coming out of, you know, in high school, going to college, they're celebrities before they even get to where they're going to play college basketball.
Absolutely.
How do you get in the minds of these young kids and teach them the fundamentals if everybody on social media with these thousands of followers are telling them, oh, they're perfect already?
Right. And another part is that so many high school players are being recruited for different AAU teams. So when you have a player that's being torn to go to this AAU team or that AAU team, and then you have 12 of them put together on one team, it's all about individualism. And I think that's the biggest drawback of the game right now is that the team concept to some degree has been taken away from it. And we have to try to get them motivated to realize that this is a team and a cooperative spirit and a cooperative workforce. And we have to realize how to go about doing that. And that's the principles that I'm trying to lay out in front of my players is that you have to understand where the fundamentals blend themselves to the whole part of the game.
Craig Hodges here in studio with us on the beat. Of course, you remember him from the early 90s, winning two championships with the Bulls, one of the best pure shooters to ever play the game.
Thank you.
And let's talk a little bit. So you're at Rich East now coaching. Mm-hmm. Probably a completely different type of experience for you.
No doubt.
How challenging has it been to attack that level of basketball?
It hasn't been so much challenging as it has been fun and enlightening. Enlightening to the point to seeing what young people are thinking about now, seeing the different distractions. And I think that's the biggest point that Jared was making is the fact of how many young players I walk into practice and everybody's on their iPhone. And I'll just stand there and look and see how long it's going to take them to realize that, hey, man, it's time for practice and you should have been taking care of that before you got here. Likewise, they shouldn't even be in the gym. They should be up in the locker room. So it's a mindset that we're trying to change to get back to once we walk into the gym, when we're on the bus, when we're in the locker room, get it to where it's an old school mentality. The old school mentality of this is about work, this is what we have to get done today, and we have this many hours or this many minutes to get it done. And hopefully at some point in time it'll translate into W's. And if it doesn't translate into W's, like I tell them, it's not about how many wins and losses I get, but it's about me making sure you can get the maximum exposure to be a student athlete and to be recruitable, but first I have to make sure all those steps are in place. That's likewise student, whether it be your testing, whether it be your pre-testing, all that has to be in place.
Well, Rich East is super. I hope they appreciate having you there. I mean, the experience that you have and the background you're bringing and the leadership, I think is just awesome. You're writing your book, A Long Shot. the triumphs and struggles of an NBA freedom fighter. And of course, I think most people remember, at least if you're around my age, you being at the White House, mm-hmm. wearing the dashiki, mm-hmm. and then handing, you know, writing a letter to the president at the time, talking right. about what was going on in this city.
Exactly.
Which is similar to what's going on in this city right now.
No question about it. And that's probably the biggest, one of the biggest, when people ask me about do I have any regrets, I somewhat regret the fact that economically I think I could have had some impact. Whether it had been a $4 million or a $3 million contract for a season, I felt that $1 million was enough for me and mine, and that the other portion could be leveraged to creating economic opportunities, whether it be jobs, whether it be after-school programs. But the necessity of economics coupled and linked itself to the violence that we see.
Yeah. Well, and that's you need leaders, right? And you also need money, and you need all of it, all coming together.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that we face now is that the leadership of what's been there hasn't really filtered down to this younger generation. And as far as probably if you look at the membership of those leading quasi or what we would say are black organizations, where are they at with young folks, and what are young people thinking and feeling about them?
I'm always fascinated by, I guess, the decision from athletes on whether or not to speak out
right.
on issues. Mm-hmm. I can understand it from both sides of the coin.
Right.
Later on in the show, we're going to talk to Charles Tillman, former okay. Bear, who just a few weeks ago wrote a letter to the city of Chicago about mm-hmm. the violence right now. And he has chosen to be a little bit more outspoken near right. the end of his career, now that he's retired, more right. so when he was a player. We've talked on this show in the past about LeBron, and sometimes he's willing to speak out on something, sometimes not. What was it in your career that got you to that point where it was like, I need to do this, and I'm willing to do this?
Well, for me, my career was not really in any way what inspired me to do it. It was my upbringing. So when I look at my mother and what she taught me about the civil rights movement and me being a civil rights baby, so from that standpoint, it's like we were talking about the passion for sport. You have it or you don't, and you get it at a certain age. And I was blessed to get the passion for sport at the same time I learned how to read and write. And that my aunts and my mom and my sister kept me in check on the academic end, and my uncles and my grandparents and my grandfather especially kept me understanding that the only way I would get to play sport is to make sure that my academics were strong.
Craig, it's amazing when we start to talk about this, because mm-hmm. as we talk on this show all the time, and we talk about these neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and a lot of the things, when I go into these neighborhoods, when I go to schools, the one thing that gets me all the time is that you talk to kids, and they always talk about, well, I'm a product of my environment. A lot of these kids in these areas, they never get a chance to leave out of their neighborhoods. Okay. They don't know that there's something else out there better.
No question.
And to give them an opportunity maybe to see that there's something else out there maybe would help kind of change the minds of some of these young kids, because all they're around, that's all they see in their neighborhoods, on their blocks.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, exposure to a different mindset, exposure to a different light in life is critical. And I think, all of us who have some measure of success, who have had a great support system, we'll see within that support system those things existed. That, for you and myself, we were able to be around sport in a different way, to see it on a professional level, to see it on a collegiate level, and to have those experiences. And many of our young children, they don't even see that hope in their lives. And I think that's the presence that we have to have a mind to say, we've been blessed with the opportunity to be at this day and time. And that's what I feel so lucky about, is that I am at this day and time to see all of this craziness going on, but at the same time, it's miraculous that we have an opportunity to have a say in young folks' lives.
Craig Hodges in our studio, former Chicago Bull. Was almost a Northwestern Wildcat. I learned that recently.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Tex winner, if he had been there, you might have stayed home.
No question. And that was the biggest thing for me. It was days like this outside, man. I was like, Tex, I would love to come to Northwestern because I love how he thought at this time. He was a real laid-back guy. But at the same time, he taught us the information of how to play basketball. So when he got the job out west, he took me with him. And, man, I'm thankful that he did.
So one of the big stories around speaking out this year came from out west and Colin Kaepernick, who's not standing for the national anthem. We're sitting, however you want to put it.
Right.
So with everything going on right now, people being denied entry into the country that have been here for their whole lives, took a trip, now can't get back in. I mean, if you were playing nowadays, would you stand? Would you sit? How would you look at it?
For me, it would be, you know, and that's for me, it's I have a somewhat different scope on things. I look at my specialties, basketball and black people, and I stay focused on that. So I hate to hear, you know, the stories of the people who can't get back in the country, especially when we think in terms of what the country is based upon. But once again, our stories are different, you know. So for me, I think back to my ancestry. And ancestry on both sides of my family, both Native American and those that came through the Middle Passage. So for me, it's somewhat of a different mindset. But at the same time, I sympathize and I empathize with people who can't really love family for the way family should be loved on this planet.
Well, and you play with Michael.
Absolutely.
Who obviously, I mean, has all the dough, which he earned, in the world. And people have always shouted, Mike needs to do more. Mm-hmm. Did you have those conversations with him?
Oh, that's the beautiful part of, you know, being in a team situation, you know, Brother Payton, to tell you from the standpoint of we people, man, and we have those conversations that many people in some respects say you should never have, religion, politics, and the like. But it comes up, and it may come up because of a Rodney King incident, as it was during my time of play. And everybody had their opinion, but at the same time, Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith said the other night on the show about how, and I think it was Shaq who brought up the point that many of us haven't studied the issues enough to be able to speak articulately to them. So for me, I was blessed to have studied, you know, black history in college and society and understanding what measure of impact we can have. And we have to pick our battles, man, so we can't pick them all. So for me, I try to make sure that I stay in that realm where I can affect the lives of young black men so that we can become, you know, active citizens and be able to see the world and as opposed to just our few blocks.
Is the NBA different now as opposed to back when you played in terms of outspeak? I mean, today we have guys, I mean, Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich have been really outspoken in the last year and have said some really eloquent things, too.
LeBron, Carmelo, D-Wade.
And I think, you know, social media gives you a certain support base, whereas when we played, it was different. It was like for myself, it was a situation where I was almost invisible. That my career went from being a world champion and two-time world champion, three-point title winner, to non-existent. And I think that's the difference today, is that you can tell your own story. You can create a following that has that same mindset, and now you have a base of support.
Let's you can hang for one more segment.
Oh yeah, we good.
All right, let's do that.
We gotta get a break we gotta play more. This conversation is fascinating.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much for coming in. So a lot more coming up with Craig Hodges here on 720 WGM. In the middle of a conversation here with Craig Hodges, former Bull, has a book out called Long Shot, The Triumphs and Struggles of an NBA Freedom Fighter.
Let me just name one thing. There was no better time to be a Bulls fan than when Craig got traded here from Phoenix. It wasn't when they were winning titles. It was when they were rising up.
Exactly.
And when you all would be down 10 in the fourth, and they'd put Mike in the middle, and you in one corner, and maybe Pax or whoever in the other, and he'd blaze down that lane, and they'd leave you, kick it to the corner, bang.
Count it.
Stadium goes nuts.
Count it.
It was the best.
Yes, sir.
I loved it.
And great time for us, man. That's what I tell people. Especially for me, being, you know, born and raised here, all the struggles and, you know, of all those seasons we went through where it was, man, lean times when we look at Chicago sports. But, you know, to have a role on the first Bulls championship, man, is something that, you know, will never be forgotten.
So tell us a little bit about this book. I mean, what's the one thing you want our audience to kind of understand about what you wrote here?
Well, the biggest thing for me is to be able to tell your own story, man, to be able to tell your own story about certain parts of your life. You know, it's a snippet of a look into what I feel was important as far as why my career was ended to some degree, what led me to write the letter, that it wasn't a whimsical thing at all. It was something like we just spoke about, that it was a process I'm doing. And it was very therapeutic at the time, and as far as bringing back some great memories and bringing back some memories that you don't always want to remember, but at the same time, you know, it's important that you do in order that you can leave a legacy for your children to read about and your grandbabies, as opposed to it being someone else's story.
You talked about a process, yes. And you go through this process of writing this book over mm-hmm. the years mm-hmm. after the letter and trying to figure out why all this happened. Did it drive you crazy? Were you always thinking about it? And it seems like you're at peace now because you're actually sharing it with everybody mm-hmm. else.
Like you say, during that period of time when you're actually going through it, it's I tell people all the time that I think at some points I was clinically depressed and hadn't been really diagnosed as being such, because you love a game that I've been playing organized since 8 years old for 24 straight years. It's something that you know, your body's conditioned to run in the summer, be ready to work out. September comes, we're ready to go to camp, we're ready to do our thing. And then when that doesn't come around and you have to look at your sons and tell them why you're not playing, and then they're seeing you play summer league against pros and you're getting your thing off, and they saying, man, daddy, you was just playing against this guy this summer and now you can't play. And I think that in itself was a point of, you know, where you have to, you know, gird your loins, man, and tighten up yourself so you wouldn't let yourself fall about. But for me, I just thank my two oldest boys for hanging in with me and inspiring me. You know, and I tell them I love them all the time, and I thank them for being there to be good men. And I think another thing about what inspired me to write the book is that part of the story. Everybody always wants to talk about, you know, me going to the White House, but the fact of being able to say that, you know, I had my sons understand the importance of education, and they both being able to be college graduates and being functional citizens. Man, that's the biggest part for me, and to be able to put that story out and say that it's possible for us to be able to do that as brothers.
Well, I mean, you were 32 years old.
Yes.
I mean, you're a young man.
No question about
and
it.
And this is your love, mm-hmm. and you still can do it, and yes. It gets taken away from you. If you hadn't felt some form of depression, it wouldn't have been normal, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and at the same time, I think for me, when I look at that, I have a great support system, man. My extended family's still in the Park Forest area, so they were able, at those times when I might not have been at my best, they were able to take my boys off my hand and let me go hang out with the brothers and maybe go play around the golf or something. So it was cool, man. So it's all lessons learned, and it's no anger or bitterness. It's more the lessons and the life experience is so rich for me that I couldn't be angry about it.
So I don't want you to kind of spoil the whole book, mm-hmm. but can you give us a little bit of insight as to kind of what happened and what unfolded as to why it ended so quickly?
Well, we win our first championship in 1991, June. We go to the White House October 1st, 1991. The night before we went, I knew I was going to wear a dashiki since we had won in June, but the night before, it came to me to write a letter. And in that letter, I wanted to represent all that my mother had taught me about the movement and all those freedom fighters that had went on, as well as those people who couldn't speak for themselves, man, poor people, people from the projects like me who wouldn't get a chance to come. Let me see if I could speak on their behalf this one day and maybe get their point across. And I think me going to the White House in a dashiki on international stage was different impact-wise as opposed to me wearing a dashiki for two straight years when we won championships all during the playoffs. So it wasn't – now we were on the international stage, and I think some people said the NBA was embarrassed about that for me, it's only speculation because nobody could ever tell me. So, but all in all, man, those are the types of things where people say that impacted your career, as well as when I'm saying that we as athletes and entertainers who have more, more is required of us. When I made that statement, people think that means to say Michael. I'm saying the bus driver got some impact. The postal worker got some impact. Your impact is commensurate on where you at in your reality of things. So it's not on me to tell Michael or Scotty or anybody else, but to share the information that I had. And that's one of the things that one of my ex-teammates, Horace Grant, we had a chance to sit down and talk, and he was thanking me for the information that I was giving him at a point in his life when he was too young to accept it. And now in his reality, he's been studying a lot more, and he's seeing some of these reality come to the fore, and to have dinner with him and his son was pretty cool, man, and we talk about that.
Yeah, put those apples on the tree. You don't know when they're going to be ripe.
There you go, man, and that's the beautiful part of life is that it's all about cycles, man, and to be blessed to live as many as we can.
Yeah,
this man is powerful, man.
Thank you.
A trailblazer. I think that's what we all look for, is somebody to step out and to have a voice for other people. That's what we're looking for and searching for right now in this day and age. It hasn't stopped. And for every single year and every single decade, we look for people, and you're one of those people. So
appreciate
I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, man. And tell moms and your sister I said what's happening.
I will.
All right.
I was going to say, I mean, this is a it seems like a good timing for this book, but yeah. I imagine it's always good timing for this conversation.
No question about it.
It always is.
Yeah,
so,
and I think the beautiful part, man, is that the fact that we're having a conversation means that people are thinking.
Yeah, well, it's a great conversation. I'm confident our listeners right now are thinking, too.
Just give one car memory back at the old day when they used to practice at the multiplex, and I was lucky enough to sneak in there. And this is before the Birdo Center. Craig's coming out of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's running in. He runs by. He was like, Hodgety Hodge. And, like, I was 3 feet away from that. I'm like, this is, like, I'm the luckiest kid on the planet.
Hodgety Hodge. That's exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
That's what he calls me to this day, man.
Yeah, I'm like, I love my life. I just saw MJ run by Craig Hodges. The Bulls are awesome. It was great. So, at any rate, that was a moment in time.
Appreciate you guys, man. Yeah.
The book is called Long Shot, The Triumphs and Struggles of an NBA Freedom Fighter. Go pick it up. Appreciate you coming in here, Craig
Hodges.
This is 720 WGN.